The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, as you've probably heard, the High Court has temporarily removed the passenger cap imposed by the aviation regulator on Dublin Airport for next year while the case is argued. The judge agreed that irreparable harm could be done to the airlines by the cap, as well as damage to the public and to the economy. Welcome news, no doubt, my first guest this morning, Kenny Jacobs, the CEO of the Dublin Aviation Authority at the DAA. Kenny, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Welcome news, I presume.
This is good news for, I think, the travelling public. It's good news for aviation. It's good news for protecting jobs, and it's good news for connectivity. It's not the end game. It's a solution for a period of time that brings some relief. You know, this is a 17-year saga that's been going on for too long. And ultimately, I think it's going to be the European Court of Justice that will determine that an international treaty and EU regulation takes precedence potentially over domestic planning, or it's going to be us ultimately getting planning approval from Fingal and then on
board Planola. So it might be a race between on board Planola, Fingal and the European Court.
I think so.
And the European Court takes a long time.
It takes a long time and planning takes a long time. And ultimately what we want is to be able to grow. We also want to be able to comply with planning. And that's why we're caught between this rock and a hard place for a period of time. But ultimately there's demand for airlines out there to do more flying to and from Dublin Airport. The airport itself can comfortably manage 36 million passengers. And it's a shame that we're turning away airlines as we have been, because this year's passenger numbers are heading for the full year to about 33 million.
So you're over the cap. You will be by
the
end of 2024.
We will be over the cap in 2024.
Now, what are the implications of that, given this High Court decision? I mean, is it likely that the aviation regulator is going to come after you and try to punish you in some way for going over the cap?
I don't know what the implications are. I think it's unlikely that there will be, you know, financial implications for us. I think, you know, this decision yesterday provides some basis for some relief. But this year we're headed to 33 million. We can comfortably manage 36 million at Dublin Airport. And there's airline demand out there. And all of that means jobs. All of that means good connectivity. And as we've said throughout this saga, you know, we are an island nation. We do need this good connectivity. It's good for business. It's good for tourism. And we need it. So ultimately, I think you were providing clarity to say that the Open Skies Agreement between the EU and the US matters in this debate, that, and also that EU regulation matters, and that those two major pieces of legislation cannot be undermined by a domestic planning condition. I think that's what's going to be determined ultimately. But as you said, that will take years. In the meantime, we'll focus on planning. So next week, we go back to Fingal with the answers to their questions on the infrastructure application we submitted last December. We will also go to Fingal in the near future with an operational application which says, just let us operate to 36 million, remove the cap, and we won't be building anything.
What is the infrastructural application you put in at the moment? What are you looking for?
Yes, so the one that we've put in last December is a 2 billion investment that we would make. It's building two piers, one in T1, one in T2. It's extending the aprons. It's putting about 450 million sustainability investments in to replace the oldest parts of the infrastructure at Dublin Airport and ultimately remove the cap of 32 million and allow us to operate to 40 million. That's what we submitted to Fingal last December.
How long might it take to reach 40 million based on your current projections?
Based on current projections, I would say there could be airline demand out there and us reaching 40 million probably in the next 3 to 4 years.
All right. So are we looking at the need for a T3?
I don't think we're looking at the need for a T3. We're certainly looking at the need. And the next time this application approved, the 40 million one, I think we will be into Fingal quite soon after with another application, talking about a master plan of Dublin Airport with 50 million passengers at Dublin Airport. Ireland needs to get better at longer term planning. We in the DAA want to get better at longer term planning. So we won't be leaving it late. We will be going to Fingal, within a year of getting the 40 million application approved, we'll be going to Fingal with another application that future proofs the growth at Dublin Airport.
Explain what has been lost, though, in this uncertain time with the passenger cap for the winter season and then the passenger cap, which has now been paused for the summer season. The winter season, that cap remains.
That cap remains. But what's been lost, which is a really good question, is about 750 to 1 million passengers in the calendar year 2024. So we've been working hard to do everything we can to comply with planning. We've been dampening down demand. That means that we've incentivized airlines to relocate capacity from Dublin to Cork, which some have done, which we're thankful of. And Cork is now Ireland's fastest growing airport. We've removed all incentives for airlines. I've actively had, you know, over a dozen conversations with airlines that wanted to come to Dublin saying, look, I can't stop you applying for slots, but if you get them, you're unlikely to keep them. So or the actions that we've taken to dampen down demand means that about 750,000 to a million passengers have come out this calendar year. It's also created uncertainty. Some airlines were planning to come to Dublin, were planning to expand at Dublin. These are airlines flying long haul to the US, long haul to the Middle East, long haul to Asia. Airlines, you know, for the first time thinking of connecting Dublin to long haul to South America. All because of the cloud of uncertainty, and airlines want certainty. They don't want to file for a slot in 2024 and lose it in 2025. They've decided to go elsewhere. So this hasn't been good for our international reputation.
Now, the sustainability argument that people are flying and therefore generating CO2 into the air, what is your contention? That it'll go somewhere if it doesn't get burnt in the skies coming into Ireland, it'll get burnt in the skies going somewhere else?
Yeah, well, I mean, the million passengers that aren't flying in and out of Dublin next year are flying in and out of Manchester and Gatwick. So those emissions haven't gone away. They've just gone to other airports in Ireland, other airports principally outside of Ireland. I think, look, aviation has to do more on sustainability. It represents 3% of emissions. It will be probably the hardest industry globally to decarbonize just because of the nature of the product and the need to keep an aircraft in the skies. But aviation needs to do more. We're doing more. And a key part of the infrastructure investment that we want to make is 450 million in replacing the worst and the oldest and most carbon emitting parts of Dublin Airport with newer kit that essentially will allow us to, you know, grow while not growing emissions. And that's I think some people struggle with that.
What are those bits? I mean,
that's going to be new drainage. That's going to be new energy systems. That's going to be new heating systems. That's going to be shorter taxiways that will require the aircraft to use less fuel. That's going to be a fully electric fleet of vehicles, airside and landside. Everything we can to reduce scope 2 emissions.
Now, many people who use Dublin Airport will say, you know, it's fairly crowded at a lot of times. I mean, not just midsummer, but all the year round, and particularly at, say, midterms and things like that. It's very, very busy. I mean, when you say you can cope with those extra passengers, can you really?
Yeah, we can. Like if you take, and it depends on the time of day and the time of year, as you've mentioned. So if you take between 5:30 and 7:30 in the morning, are there loads new slots that we can stick in there? No, it's a very, very busy airport in what we call the first wave. But if you take the middle of the day, and if you take airlines arriving from the US, yeah, there are slots available. So comfortably, from an operational point of view, considering slots, we can do 36 million comfortably next year. And we can do more than that when we expand and we have extra piers and extra stands and all the things that come with
it. How many of those passengers are transit passengers who never set foot outside Dublin Airport?
Yeah, this year we'll have about 1.7 million transit passengers. And I know there's been some debate on should they be counted in the number or not.
Yeah, because the planning condition was about the roads infrastructure around Dublin Airport. These people never interface with the roads.
Yes, some of them don't. Now, some of them don't. Now, there's 1.7 million transfer passengers, we don't count three quarters of them at all. A quarter of them we do count once in the count towards the passenger cap. Now, if you arrive in from Donegal very early in the morning and you're at the airport for the full day and you go out on a flight later that evening, you're likely to be counted once. But if you arrive from Donegal and within an hour you're gone on another flight transatlantic, we don't count you.
Okay, so the scope for even flexibility on the cap is limited to about 1.7 million.
It's quite limited. Ultimately, the decision yesterday, I think, is good for aviation. It's not the end of the story. This has been going on for 17 years. The end of the story comes, I think, when a European court says European and international treaties come first, or when planning gets granted first by Fingal. And as I said, we go back to Fingal next week with our full answer, our full set of answers to their questions. And we then hope that they can approve the 40 million application reasonably quickly. And then no doubt it'll go on to Onboard Planola and be objected to. But ultimately it's the courts or it's planning will allow a bigger number rather than just working around the edges as we have been.
Now, how nimble have the airlines been in redirecting their flights to still serve Ireland, whether it's Cork, you mentioned that they've got some business that was in Dublin. How about Belfast, over which you have no control?
over which we have no control. But I think it's already well publicised that the fans of Leinster Rugby their fan flights have been moved from Dublin out of Dublin to Belfast already. I think last week I saw an article from French charters looking to bring 30 flights from France to Dublin for the Six Nations game, and they couldn't understand why that wasn't possible. Airlines are very nimble because aircraft are by definition the most movable asset.
So there's no problem in Belfast in either of the two airports at all.
No, there's always some limitations in Belfast City Airport, but not in Belfast International Airport. But ultimately, what we want to do is provide clarity, give the airlines the ability to look. There's now not a million passengers coming out next year. I think we have the ability to provide some modest growth next year. It's unlikely to be first thing in the morning, but we can comfortably operate up to 36 million. So I would encourage airlines to say, look, they know Dublin is already a very good value airport from them when it comes to charges. They know they can fill their planes. They know they make a very good return at Dublin Airport. So I think we'll quickly see them look to see what additional growth they can do at Dublin. And ultimately, once we get planning or once a European court decides on the status of the cap versus various international laws, then we'll get good growth at Dublin Airport.
Now, looking at some of the figures you've published overnight, and this probably fairly good news for passengers. I mean, for Dublin Airport, for example, the bag return time is average 18 minutes. In Cork, it's less. Smaller airport, 11 minutes. On departure, first wave, 83% on time. In Cork, it's better again, 90.3%. On time departures overall, first wave, middle of the day, late wave or whatever, 69%. Are you happy with those numbers? Is there room to improve?
Always room to improve, but very happy with those numbers. Look, Dublin Airport and Cork Airport are doing a great job. The passengers, measured by the passenger scores that we have at both airports, have never been better. So we will keep our eye on the ball and keep focused on what matters most, which is giving passengers a really good experience. That's on-time flights, that's your bags working out fine, that's a really good choice of lounges, food and beverage outlets. And we've been making massive improvements at both Cork and Dublin airports, and we'll continue to do that.
Mm. Now, I see the number of days at Dublin Airport with over 100,000 passengers, 17 days. That's a huge number of people to process.
It's huge. And if you take one of those, like 115,000 days, 75,000 people will go through before lunchtime. So it's like Croke Park on those busy days on the midterm when people are heading away. But we manage it really, really well, and we can manage more passengers to the same standard.
Now, if I have one complaint, I think it's called Zone 18. And you're nodding your head. You know it's a big problem.
Yeah, there's a big digital transition going on in terms of how people want to pre-book.
Better explain what Zone 18 was and has become.
Yeah, Area 18, as we call it, or Zone 18, is where you can have a pre-arranged taxi pickup on a service like Freenow as you're arriving back into Dublin Airport. We want to make it bigger, so that there's more cars can wait there and be picking up passengers. So that's something we're aware of, and we're looking to say, how do we expand it so that...
The barrier is so slow.
The barrier is slower than we would want, but ultimately it's a shortage of spaces in that one particular part. So we're looking at what are the different ways that we can... Look, ultimately what we want to have is more passengers that when they touch down at Dublin Airport and they open up the Freenow app and they're saying, I want to pre-book a taxi, or I've done it before, I've left wherever I'm coming home from, that they're able to have that service and they know exactly where the car is going to be.
I mean, that is the law of the jungle there. I mean, have you used it yourself? You probably have your own parking, so it's not relevant.
No,
but for those who have used it, it really is the law of the jungle.
No.
It reminds me of, say, trying to herd cattle into a chute.
Yeah. No, I've used
the cattle on the outside want to get in the inside and so on, and that's the way the taxis are, and they cheat and they,
we need to improve
it. Across each other.
I've used it myself, and I've used the equivalent service in airports like LaGuardia, where it works really, really well. Now, ultimately, look, I think it's on us to improve that one, and we will use the winter to say, how do we now improve it so that by next springtime we've got a better offer, so that Zone 18, as it's called, is a product that works for passengers.
Okay, now what about the regular taxi ranks? They're people who tend to make a lifetime's job out of serving the airport. Are they complaining and grumbling?
I think that form of transportation is going through a transition. Some taxi drivers have gone digital, some haven't, and some do both. I think over 90% of passengers who join the regular taxi ranks at T1 and T2 in Dublin will get a taxi in less than 10 minutes, which is good. But it's on those big surge events. You have like Friday night this week, when you'll have a concerts in town, you'll have the All Blacks game, it will be difficult to get taxis all over the city and at the airport. Ultimately what we want is greater supply of taxis, and we want to give people people more choice, give passengers more choice. That's a bigger and broader digital offering on Freenow and other platforms so that people can pre-book taxis. And it's also the regular rank, and we want to make them both work well.
Now, what is the status of the car park that you tried to buy and were thwarted in that regard? Who owns it now and who's going to run it?
Well, the current owners still own it. I hope anyone runs it next summer. That's the most important thing. I don't care who that is, if it's the existing owners or if it's somebody else who buys it or if it's some external outsourced operator. The only thing that matters to us is that the 6,000 spaces are open and available to the travelling public. That will just take away any anxiety that they have.
Now, the reason you were stopped was concerns over monopolistic practices, that if you owned all the car parking, that you could charge what you like and you could have dynamic pricing and basically gouged the passenger.
And dynamic pricing exists already. And that wasn't our plan. Our plan was ultimately to have additional spaces. And look, if you, it's supply and demand economics. And if we had had these 6,000 spaces on top of the 20,000 spaces, anyone who's studied Leaving Cert economics would know that the price would come down. And that's what would have happened. At this point, it's been determined that we don't get it. We've moved on. And we're just saying, look, we'll run our 20,000 spaces. We'll keep adding new bus routes. We hope that somebody operates that car park next year, because it's a great shame that the best car park with 6,000 spaces is lying idle for a third summer if that happens next summer. So I hope someone opens it. And my message to the owner would be, please operate it yourself or let someone operate it, but it won't be us.
Now, what about the existing open space car park? It's literally what used to be fields. Any scope for building multi-story in those places? Not necessarily 10-story, but like 3 or 4-story.
Yeah, in our plans for the future, we do have 2 short-term car parks in our plans that we would add, as well as adding the, you know, an expansion of the bus station that exists. It's already the biggest bus station in the country, and it will become the biggest metro station in the country, we hope, in 2037. But while we're growing to first a 40 million airport, but ultimately a 50 million airport, and some people mightn't like to hear that number, but you know, the Irish economy and Irish tourism will need that at a point in time. We will need additional car park spaces. And that's why we've got 2 new car parks in our plans in the next number of years.
Now, how about your land bank? How big is it? Is it sufficient for growth into the future?
We've got several different versions of our master plan, as it's called, in aviation, to get to a 50 million airport. We are looking at some pockets of land that could be added to the land bank that we have. So we've got several different options. We can make it work with and without acquiring new lands.
Now, the final area is really those people who live under the flight path or close to it. And there were complaints when the new runway opened that the noise had become intolerable. What's the status of that particular standoff at the moment?
Noise is something we take very, very seriously, and we work hard to try to mitigate it in every way we can. You know, we've got 25 noise monitoring stations in or around the airport. We have insulated over 200 homes. There's about another 400 homes that we want to insulate. Now, that was part of a plan that we had linked to the relevant action, which was then decided by An Bord Pleanála, which has now gone into further consultation. But we've insulated about 200. We want to insulate up to 400 more. We've bought out 6 homes. And ultimately, what I would say is we take noise very seriously. We take particularly at places like schools and old folks' homes. We want to insulate more homes. We want to buy out more homes. And we want to continue to monitor and work with the community to do everything we can to, you know, mitigate noise at an airport. There will always be some noise at an airport. Thankfully, the technology is helping. You know, the new MAX aircraft, the new NEO aircraft are producing much less noise than older aircraft. And we are incentivizing, we want to incentivize the airlines with discounts for quieter as well as greener aircraft. And we will penalize older and louder aircraft. So we're doing everything we can, and we will continue to work the community on noise.
So finally, Kenny, back to where we started and where we go to from here in the legal process. I mean, we're paused with the cap for next year, so there's some sighs of relief in the aviation industry and I'm sure in the DAA offices. But what happens next?
I think what happens next is, look, for us, we'll keep focusing on planning. We will be part of and we will observe the legal process as it continues. I think ultimately this goes off to Luxembourg, which is the European Court of Justice.
How quickly?
I think that will be in the first 3 months of next year.
I mean, does it have to, suppose the High Court rules in your favour and says, or in the airline's favour and says, no, there's no logic to this particular planning cap, which was based on ground traffic, not on traffic in the air. And then someone will object to that finding. Or can the High Court just say, well, we want this clarified, let's go straight to Europe?
They can do that. Both of those scenarios can happen. But ultimately, this goes beyond Ireland, actually. There's several European cities that are thinking of passenger caps. Europe itself and the Commission is looking for a precedent to be set, because this is a major, major case now internationally. You know, how does a domestic planning law, EU slots regulation and an open skies agreement, how does all that square? And I think ultimately that's why it's going to be the European Court of Justice that decides.
All right. Kenny Jacobs, CEO of the DAA, thank you very much for joining us. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, it's time for this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.